The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great.
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay,
thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, getting ready to travel to the Minnesota Vikings to take on that 1-0 team. Patriots need to get out of the cellar in the AFC East. And I was looking at the slate of games for this week. Some very interesting matchups. And if you're going by what happened in week one, I think there's some real difficult choices that we're going to have at the end of this show.
Week two, I think, is the most difficult week to pick.
Yeah.
I really do.
Based on the results, week one wasn't so easy.
No. But even harder is week two, because you get fooled by a lot of the results in week one.
No question.
And then the Patriots opposite
suck,
happens
Vikings
in week two.
Are good.
Yeah. Right.
And then after week two, things start to settle down a little bit, and you can kind of predict
trends
from there on.
Yeah. Right. So we'll get to that toward the end of the show, but there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, my new TV.
Oh, yeah. You got a new TV there?
You guys have always had TVs to watch. I never did. Now that I got a massive one over there.
Yeah, well, it used to be one a while ago.
You have a massive one over there, too.
I got a massive one right here. You want it?
Sputnik.
Well, you know, at night, what they do at the Hart family is they take the projector and they show it on his forehead, and it's like a drive-in movie. Nothing?
But I'm...
Nothing? All right.
Now he's openly begging.
We're going to be here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots. We did a lot of Ray Rice yesterday, and I know there was new news that came out yesterday afternoon, but we're going to move on to
Patriots. None that have changed my feelings on the topic at all.
Yeah, no. This is our last chance to talk about the Patriots before the game on Sunday, so we need to take the time to do that, and that's what we're going to do from 12 to 2, talking about your concerns, what do the Patriots have to improve.
Stop Peterson and Patterson.
To turn this thing around.
It's two people, Fred.
Tomorrow.
Peter Patter of Little Feet running into the end zone.
Yeah. So 508.
Big matchup between Darrell and Cordarrell, even though it's spelled the same.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address.
We're just going to keep talking, okay?
Pats 500. Well, that's what you usually do.
Yeah.
Because, you know. With all the radio shows you do, you'd think you'd learn how to conduct yourself.
I've been told my interrupting is endearing.
It's not.
Endearing?
Yeah.
To who?
People like it.
Vladimir Putin?
It's very natural. It's very anti-West Wing. Yeah. I don't even get what that means.
I don't either. But I was just trying to think of the worst person I could think of, and that's who I thought of.
Well, that's why I laughed. That worked.
Yeah. So
if you're endearing to a horrible person,
right,
then... You know,
who cares?
What does that say about you?
Like Ron Borges once told me, even Hitler had friends.
Yeah.
He really said that.
Is that
to
what
me.
He told you?
Yes.
And what conversation did that come up in?
You don't need to know what that was in reference to.
I can't tell you what that was in reference to, but that's a famous quote I remember. You know what? An interesting topic this week. I know the big topic is 4-3-3-4, and, you know, even Mike Reese, who is usually pretty. pretty lenient with his criticisms, said in all fairness to the players in a story yesterday, maybe Bill Belichick just put them in a bad front to not be able to succeed, basically, because Chandler Jones was at end getting pushed around in the 3-4. But I also, we had talked about the safety position might be a position that they change week to week. Well, I didn't know they were going to change basically down to down. Looked like another preseason game out there with the rotation at safety. And we had sort of said, okay, you know, maybe Chung is your run-stuffing safety and Harmon is your pass-defending safety. Well, in this game, you need to stop Peterson. Obviously, that's your first primary goal. But
and
Kyle Rudolph and Patterson. But Kyle Rudolph is a very good young tight end, so if you put Chung in because he's our run stuffer, well, then I could see Kyle Rudolph eating up Patrick Chung. Mm-hmm. Or if you put Harmon in, I could see
Adrian Peterson.
The other part of that was Harmon not playing against Miami, which I didn't see coming at all.
Well, maybe Tavon Wilson is our...
Tavon Wilson played much more than Harmon. Harmon played, like, maybe a couple of plays.
It's so crazy how...
Unharmonious beginnings.
You know, we still don't really know about that safety position, you know?
Nor does Bill.
Yeah.
Because if he knew, there would be more.
That's the concern to me, is not necessarily that...
We never know.
that we don't know. Like, he is clearly searching at offensive line. He's searching at safety. He's probably searching a little bit of how he wants to play his front seven on defense. That's not...
Rolls at receiver. And let's kind of what we talked about heading into the season. Right. This 14-win AFC title championship competitor has a lot of questions.
And let's just say that Bill's... You know, philosophy going into this game is I have this versatility, and who I put out in the field will depend on who I'm playing and what I think they're going to be doing in that game. Well, now you're combining with these different players with getting it right, you know, predicting what the other team's going to do. And if they do something different, well, now you're really screwed. And a lot of people said that was the case on Sunday with Miami, too, is out of these sets that, you know, if they had done what we thought we were going to do, we had the right personnel out there. But they didn't do what we thought, so now we're spread out, and they do these little shotgun handoffs.
So we don't have the answers to the test. We can't pass it?
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to say that.
No, I mean, I know you're being sarcastic.
No, I was taking it to an extreme, but
our personnel's depending is...
Well, it's what we've done.
The success of our personnel depends on guessing right.
It's what we've done to other teams for so long offensively.
Yeah.
To be versatile, to be able to move guys around and spread them out and run and bring them in and all that. Now, we're trying to guess, and we're not guessing well.
Have we become, or, you know, do we have the danger of becoming too specialized on defense, where this personnel works for this, but it doesn't work for that?
Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean.
One week in, we went from this is going to be the best Patriots defense.
What do you want over there, small cheese?
I guess so, small cheese. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying is, If this is true and we're realizing this, I'm assuming they are, and you know what, they'll say, let's just get the best athletes out there, the best defensive players we have out there.
But my concern is, why are they still doing this going into week two?
Well, I think there was, again, a perfect storm a little bit. I think with the weather, they had to rotate no matter what, so that made it even worse. I think that even if you were going into this game and you knew who your defensive linemen, best defensive linemen were, you were going to have to rotate them anyway. Because no one could play a whole game.
Yeah, but you could have rotated them in the 4-3.
Well, that's a thing.
Right? I mean, you could have rotated.
But I think it's a perfect storm because you had rotate and you're still trying to figure this out.
But the O-line rotation concerns me too because they weren't rotating the entire offensive line.
Right. The interior.
They were just only the interior.
The exterior
and only
was getting beat up.
Two players in the interior.
Well, that's a whole different subject. We'll talk about offense too. You know, and everyone I've listened to on the offensive line says they just got to settle that in.
Yeah.
Whatever they decide to do.
Whichever five or the five, just get them out there.
Just do it, yeah. Now, Wendell got hurt.
Yeah,
did yesterday too. He was at practice today, though.
But even before he got hurt, they were rotating him in. So that wasn't the reason for that.
Oh, he didn't start.
Oh, yeah.
No, Connolly started center.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wendell played, in the first half.
And there's no way you're going to tell me that on certain packages – Wendell's better than Connolly.
No.
That's absurd.
Yeah. Well, you know. I'm not sure that's absurd, but that was about two things: the rotating of the heat and the conditioning.
Right.
I think, and they don't have a set 3-man middle of the field.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't know if they like Devy more than Devy at guard better than they like Wendell at center.
Now, and Stork, don't forget Stork. Right,
now,
and
I think Stork. You bring up Stork. I was
He could factor.
I was watching the CSN and NNE last night, and they had Gresh on, your guys, and. He
talks about the wham block.
He says it's all about Stork being ready to play. Once he's ready to play, everything will settle out.
Well,
he's really looking at Stork to be the center.
I think Stork can be the center, but
will the Stork deliver?
Why does that make, like, to Eric's point?
He's so,
you know,
proud of himself right now.
Two of the guys that didn't rotate. Why does that make the tackles better? They have to play better.
No, I know that. But
no. You know Fred's theory. If the guy next to you isn't normal, you screw up.
Look, I think we've seen Vollmer and Solder play to an adequate level where, yes, these guys can be our NFL tackles. So
yeah,
they had a bad game.
They didn't have a great game.
But we've seen them play well. They can play well.
And we've seen them have bad games and then play well the week after.
Yeah. Right. So, but we have to settle on the inside. And I agree with Gresh. If Stork can play and he's the best center on that really does settle out the guard spot, you know, because you can put Cannon and Connolly there and just keep them.
Well, but you could do that with Lindell.
Then Cannon's going to have to play well.
Oh, yeah.
This is what I'm saying. He played terribly the other day. Now, listen, I agree with Andy. I've seen the offensive line play badly 1 week and then come back and play much better the next week. So I'm not saying that because they played badly in week one means they're going to, you know, they're going to continue to play badly. I'm just saying the opposite's not true either. Just because they've bounced back in the past, we put Brian Stork in at center. I don't think that just solves everybody else. It makes everybody else a better player.
No, but at least the continuity.
Great. We'll know we're stinking, and the guy who's stinking next to me.
But if part of being bad is not having continuity, at least they can address that.
But using our own parameters, we've seen the tackles stink, be good, stink, and then be good the next week. I don't believe we've ever seen Marcus Cannon not have a good game at guard and then have a good game at guard the following week.
He's not a guard.
That's part of my
reasoning. Right, so we can't just assume because Stork plays center, Cannon will be fine at guard.
I know you do.
You think everything is rose-colored. You got your pajamas on today.
What happened to your guy Josh Klein? I thought he was going to be your left guard.
What happened about Ryan Wendell, who started for 2 years at center,
and then you
and
signed,
they signed
to
him,
a free agent
and
contract.
Now he's not good enough.
He's not.
Because you could have had Cannon and Conley at guard with Wendell in the middle.
I think Conley's
better. No one said
better.
Devy had to play. Hey, I'm not even sure it's a Conley thing. Why is Devy playing? What has Devy ever done?
I don't know.
What's he done?
Devy does Dallas.
He was terrible in the preseason,
right.
I thought.
So, like, okay, Stork is the savior, I guess, apparently to you and Gresh and everybody
else. But that's my point. What about Brian Stork leads everybody to believe that we get him in at center, it's going to even everything out.
He's best center in college football on a national title team.
So that's going to stop the rotation?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I also don't know if it makes Cannon play well.
I don't know if he makes anybody better, and I don't know if that makes them not rotate anymore.
But don't you think part of this rotation...
He was inactive in the first game.
Don't you think part of this rotation is the uncertainty at center?
No. I think the uncertainty at all the positions is part of it. The only two that are settled are what Eric said at the beginning. The tackles.
No, but
now he's talking like Andy.
All three of those spots are unsettled.
I think we got off the defense, and we jumped into the offensive line vortex. But I think that the rotation between Connolly and Wendell is what makes the whole interior unsettled. I think once you settle
on... Why is it a rotation?
I don't know if it's a rotation.
But once
you settle on a center, whoever it is, Wendell, Connolly, Stork, that will figure out your guard.
Who plays the guards then if Stork plays center?
I think you got Connolly and Cannon.
Okay, so why couldn't you just do that now? Why couldn't you just play Wendell at center and have Connolly and
Cannon? Because I don't think they know. I think they're trying to figure out if Connolly's better than Wendell or Wendell's better than Connolly.
So how does Devy mix in?
They had all summer to figure that out.
Right.
I mean, why would they be trying to figure out what the better player is out of two guys that have been on the team for the last 3 years?
And have started for the last two together, and both of them have starting experience.
If they're trying to figure out if Jordan Devy's better than Josh Klein or if Brian Stork is better than either one of those,
Well, that was my question.
I get that.
To me, it's more of a Wendell-Devy rotation.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that come in and out. Hmm. They've decided Conley's
at
one
the
of
right
my best
guard
four.
Position.
Right.
Because Conley goes to guard.
Yeah.
But
Conley, I think,
Devy
is established as one of his best linemen because he's in all the time.
Right.
It just
he's
matters
a captain.
Where he goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I think they want Connolly on the field no matter what.
Right.
Yeah.
But they could have him at right. They could have your little guard tandem with Wendell in the middle.
But is Devy better at right guard than Wendell is at center?
I don't think they like
Andy's
Wendell
point.
Out there.
Well, then why did they sign him? Why did
they re-sign him?
Because I didn't think. Well, they didn't have Josh Stork. Ryan Stork at the time.
Right.
But even without Brian Stork, they don't seem to want him on the field.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not just a Stork situation.
Well, but he might not.
No. And I know Gresh is talking. I don't know if Stork is good enough. I don't know.
That's not my point. Yeah.
We certainly haven't seen anything to say he's great.
Right. All I've seen him is poop himself and get hurt.
and run laps. And run laps.
Right. He played a lot.
But he ran a lot of laps. Do you remember how many laps? Yeah. Fumbles, snaps,
but
laps.
All I've seen him do is poop himself and get hurt.
That's really, right?
Well, if you ask me the two things, what jumps out of your mind when I say Brian Stork? Poop his pants, running laps. Those would be the two things I'd list.
Right.
And he doesn't stand very well doing an interview with his shirt off in the locker room. Did you see him yesterday?
No.
He did. You know how they do the befores and afters on those weight loss pictures? And the guys always, like, stick their belly out. And that's how he stood to do an interview.
Bad posture.
And he's hairy. He's
well.
He actually did an interview.
He's an offensive line.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know.
With
Eric's still mad at him from the preseason.
He doesn't talk to you?
No.
No, remember when he made everybody wait and then he blew him off?
Oh, yes.
Just walked right through the
Yeah, he talked to that new woman who was here. Who's she? Skinny. She had, like, pants with a skirt over the top of it. Seemed a little,
She had pants on.
Seemed a little tree-hugging, oatmeal-eating, hippie-ish.
Oh, boy.
Don't know.
I don't know.
I've never seen her before. She was new, but she had a camera with her, and she did the interview with him.
She was nude?
New.
Oh. Oh, that would have been quite a story. I didn't see any nudes in there.
All right, but getting back to the defense.
No women.
No female ones, yeah, right.
We started on the defense before we got lost in talking offensive
line.
In
the vortex.
Well, that's
in
a story,
the
too.
3-4-4-3, okay?
4-3.
We're assuming that the coaches of the Patriots are smart people, starting with Belichick and Matt Patricia and everyone else. What conclusions are they going to make based off this last game?
No idea.
You don't know.
I can only tell you the conclusions I make. That was a bad plan. That was bad having Chandler Jones as a 3-4 end.
Yep.
And you don't have a lot of guys that I think are 3-4 ends in general. So you should be a 4-3 team.
We said that in the press box, Fred, remember?
We've been saying that since, like, June.
I've been, as little as I know, but we haven't seen him
at 3-4.
This should be a 4-3.
Oh, we've seen him.
We saw him mostly
played it in the preseason.
An outside linebacker.
Yeah, but he's played end in the preseason, too.
But to do it for a whole game, I mean, yeah, you got to experiment, see if he can do it in the preseason. But now when we saw it in the regular season, we're like...
And it's almost like, that's not good. You know, I don't know how smart Tannehill is, but, you know, if you put it in the quarterback's hands, if they see, you know, Jones as that end, you know, in a 3-4, okay, we're going to run this ball because we can push him around.
Mm-hmm. And they did.
Yeah.
Second half.
Yeah. So...
So the answer is 4-3, very simple.
Or better disguise... You know,
or
some, you know,
see if you can trade for Tommy Kelly.
By the way, John Abraham.
Do you think Tommy Kelly's available?
No. John Abraham at concussion doesn't know if he wants to keep playing.
And is having issues.
Speaking
reportedly.
Of guys that we could have had.
Headaches and memory loss and serious stuff.
So, you know, I'm sure that wasn't
Bill
a result
knew
of...
that was coming. That's why he didn't sign him. Good job, Fred.
That's true.
Oh,
well, I'm sure this...
2 years ago.
I'm sure it wasn't just one concussion that started this.
Right. No,
but you know we played all last year, right?
I had a great
year. You know, that's when we were talking about signing, not this year. You know that, right?
We know
I'm not sure you do. Patterson Peterson.
So we couldn't sign Abraham because he might have a concussion 2 years from now.
2 years ago.
But we could sign Amendola for $30 million, even though we, you know, he's endless.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Fred wants to go back to talk about Ray Rice.
And especially, you know, 4-3-3-4, what's better suited to, you know, stop the Vikings?
The thing you're more able to play.
Yeah, which is 4-3.
That's the thing.
You can stop a running back in either front.
The better,
I know,
to me,
with
the better
this
run.
Personnel.
This personnel has got to be,
personnel.
I think it's got to be 4-3. They don't have enough big bodies to play a 3-4. They're short.
They don't have any big bodies. They do not have a single player on the roster like Ty Warner or Richard Seymour. Right?
Theoretically, Dante Hightower is a good 3-4 linebacker. He should be, right?
What are your measurables for that? 6'2 and taller?
6'5.
6'4, 300 plus. I mean, Seymour was 6'6 and Warren was like 6'4, 6'5.
Silver Ceiling is only 6'2.
Well, we actually do.
Those are inside.
You know what?
Yeah.
I think Sebastian Vollmer could play there.
Huh. Yeah, no, I think that
Chris Jones 6'1".
The Belichick 3-4, I think, is probably the better run defense.
We don't,
but,
do we?
But they don't have, Andy's right, they don't have the
personnel.
Maybe
the whole
play.
Thing is, like, they're laughing at all of us
well, they usually
with all
do.
This 4-3-3-4 talking to saying, you know what?
They shouldn't be laughing, they're 0-1.
It's a front seven. and we're going to use guys all different ways, and there's no label for it.
And I don't care how they use the guys.
Week one, the label was loser.
Well, yeah.
They need the
whatever
size.
Whatever they did, it didn't work.
You sucked.
Velano 6'2", 300.
Yeah, there's nobody.
They need size, I think, for the point of attack.
I'm not sure Velano's 300.
Yeah, that's
he
a
might
stretch.
Not be, but
that's
I mean,
a stretch
that's
to
the
me.
Listing anyway.
I bet you he's in the 290s.
Because I would, I was surprised that he was even that close. I would have closer to 290 than 300.
Oh, but, yeah. We should ask that guy from Maryland. He knows a lot about him.
If they had, you know, I agree with you, Fred. It can be the front seven. It doesn't have to be anything that we define as 4-3. But I don't think they have enough big bodies to play the way that that Belichick likes to play run defense. Do you agree with that, Andy? Like the old 3-4 that they used to do, that's probably a better run defense. They're playing it with the personnel that they need.
The only thing I would question is the way Belichick liked to play.
Right.
I don't know if he's altered what he is expecting out of a 3-4 now, if he thinks it's different.
Right.
I don't know that.
The closest they
had. He likes to play a certain way.
The closest they had, and I use that in past
Tommy
tense,
Kelly?
Was, no, well, yeah. But recently, I mean, Kelce Quarles, who was on the practice squad, we didn't see him out there today, but he was listed 6'4", 294.
He wasn't out there today?
He was not out there
How about today. The new guy? What's his measurables?
The Henderson
Cameron
guy?
Henderson.
He's 6'4", 270.
So he's in the Zach Moore mold.
Yeah.
4-3 end
right.
type.
Yeah, he's...
Perfect attendance on the 53-man roster, though, by the way.
Oh, good.
At practice, again.
Brady practicing on Thursday for the first time this year.
One quick thing to note.
What? It's true.
Julian Edelman might be on the injury report today. At the beginning of stretching, he was on on one of the medical carts having his left ankle retaped.
And I thought that he looked like he
might have done something in
Miami. He definitely did.
Yeah.
At first, I thought it was a punch in the nuts.
He had a
and then it went on too long because usually, you know, your nuts, you start to feel better. And he seemed to not just start feel better.
And then he didn't do anything in the second half.
And he never caught not his fault, though. He could have had one
catch. He could have had that one deep ball that would have maybe changed the game.
But he also could have been hurt.
But that was the only time he was targeted the whole half, too. So maybe he wasn't open because he wasn't hurt, because he wasn't healthy.
Right.
Okay, so that's great.
And Ryan Wendell.
All right. I'm not sending a shot.
The one guy we've counted on for about, 15
this
months.
This opens it up for Danny Amendola.
The Wendell situation we were talking
that's
about.
That's your guy.
We should mention he was added to the injury report yesterday with a knee. He was out there, though, at the stretching portion of practice, which was all we were allowed to watch today.
Okay.
What are they hiding?
I don't know. Probably whether they're going to be a 3-4 or a 4-3. Oh, my goodness. All right. Tony.
The sky is falling.
Yeah, Tony writes in. He says, aren't Villano, Chris Jones, and Salinga just Jags? These three couldn't stop the run last year, and I fear there will be more of the same this year. The Patriots don't have defensive line talent.
Well, not Salinga was given credit for solidifying the run defense late last year. He was one of those nice little stories when
yes.
Sopawaga sucked.
Right. He didn't,
Salinga came on board.
Well, you know who else they're missing in, just in terms of that physicality against the run. And I don't like the player, and I have
Tommy
no problem
Kelly?
That he's not there. But yes. Spikes. Spikes, I don't think would have been – I don't think they would have run for 191 yards last week if Spikes was there. Now, that doesn't mean I think that was a bad personnel move.
So wouldn't have played?
I would have moved on, too. I don't think Collins would have had to play all those snaps. Collins looked like he was completely done
by
the end of the game. You know, so I think they would have had some early downs.
Linebacker.
Early downs, he'd have been out there, don't you think?
I think he might
have been in the game.
I would assume if you were, but I also wouldn't assume that Chandler Jones would be playing defensive end in the 3-4. So I can't assume anything anymore. What's up is down. What's left is right.
Steve from Winchester writes: the problem with the Patriots' defense is that the GM has successfully gone out and built an athletic 4-3 attacking core of front seven players
and
a man-to-man secondary, but the coach insists on playing a 3-4 zone. The GM has replaced larger, slower players like Ty Warren, Keith Traylor, Ted Johnson, Brandon Spikes with quicker, more
Tommy
athletic,
Kelly.
Penetrating players like Chandler Jones, Dominic Easley, and Jamie Collins. He invested in a premier one-on-one corner. However, the coach is still clinging to the two-gap 3-4 zone system. He's putting his attacking 4-3 defensive end in a role on the line where he gets overwhelmed and cannot use his speed or athleticism. He's putting his one-on-one corner in deep zones on one side of the field where he can't match up against the best receiver. We need to get the GM and coach on the same page. Either bring in a bunch of 3-4 two-gap players or put his 4-3 players into a system that works for them. Are these guys not talking? And I know he's being funny because they're the same person.
Guy, yeah.
But, oh, you got that, did you?
But it does... It'd
be a funny conversation.
It's not an outrageous email.
Yeah. But at the same time, we did see Revis matched up with Wallace a lot. You know,
we saw him in zone a lot, too.
Yeah.
And people were complaining that the cushion that they were giving.
Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't seem to really fit Revis' style, I don't think, to the best of his ability.
Find the best receiver. You know,
are they,
him on.
Again, are they just outsmarting themselves?
Well, I did find it interesting, though. He was like, they replaced, and he rattled off a litany of players there, like 6-7 guys, the Seymours, the Trail, you know, all these guys. And they replaced them with, and he named 3 fast guys. You know, Collins, Easley, and Revis, I think.
Well, no, Chandler Jones.
Oh, Chandler Jones. Right. But I think that they've gotten more athletic. I think Easley is a more athletic player and that they've added. But I don't think that as an entire unit, it's an overly fast athletic defense yet.
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, certainly Hightower and Mayo aren't fast. They're not fast.
No.
Well, yeah. I think Mayo has decent speed for an inside linebacker. I wouldn't say he's Lofa Tatupu or Luke Kuechly even, but I think he has decent speed.
Wow, that's you really, because I know how little you think of Kuechly.
No, see, that's what you don't understand.
What?
A guy can be overrated and good.
Was that an exaggeration?
I think Luke Kuechly is overrated and good.
Was that an example of me using hyperbole to take a shot at you?
I don't know, fat boy. I lashed out.
Yep, that's what Andy
does. You pushed me in a corner and I lashed out.
That's what Andy does.
Yummy. Yeah,
yeah. Oh,
Andy
real
thinks
quick.
Kuechly is Kuechly is overrated.
But he's fast.
But that doesn't mean he's not good.
Right. But no, I think they have speed and athleticism. I mean, Jamie
I think they
Collins.
Have well, that's the three guys.
Who were the three?
Jones.
Collins, Jones, and
Easley.
Yeah.
I don't think they're overly fat. I don't think.
They're not a speed-based unit.
No. But I think that we replaced a lot of these big, strong guys, a lot of guys, with faster guys, but there's only like 3 fast guys that we mentioned.
Those also weren't direct replacements. We've had sort of personnel failures along the way. You know, you traded for Albert Haynesworth, or you signed Armand Armstead, you know, who was your third best defensive tackle last year, who never played. You know, you've had some fail. Well, talk to your guy who very, very good drafter. Bill Belichick said he was his third best defensive tackle.
You should have drafted him then. He wouldn't draft him because he's a very, very good
That's
drafter,
true.
And he didn't waste a draft pick on
Since
him.
Last year, we got rid of our second and third best defensive tackles, Tommy Kelly and Armand Armstead.
Okay.
Easley. How about Easley?
What about him?
This week?
Playing more?
Is he able, is he able to make a bigger impact this week?
I think he has
so
to.
Couldn't be less.
Right.
Yeah. Hardly did anything.
Yemi of Texas says, if you count Easley as a starter and you include Revis, we have 7 first-round picks on defense. Other than Wilfork and Easley, the rest are in their prime. Our defense should be good in theory. Could Revis have been a product of Rex Ryan's blitzing schemes to some extent?
Wouldn't that be an unbelievable story?
He didn't have to cover for long with the Jets. QBs had to throw the ball
Wouldn't
quickly.
That be an unbelievable story?
Or if he wasn't that good?
Like, he was a product of Revis.
Yeah.
I mean, a product of Rex.
Yeah, but even Rex thought Rex was a product of Revis. So that'd be the greatest part of the story, is Rex didn't even know what was going on with his own defense.
Wow.
All right, let's hit the
phones. But just because the guys are first-round picks, it doesn't mean they're good.
No, that's true.
I mean, Hightower could be a disappointment. We know
McCourty
is a disappointment. They have disappointments on the defense already.
Let's go to Jules in New York. Hey, Jules.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
Hey, let me just say, you guys had a pretty good show yesterday. A lot of domestic violence talk, but it was pretty good.
Depends who you ask, because a lot of people thought it was the worst show ever.
And a lot of people liked it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because...
Well, okay.
And I agree, we may have gone a little bit too long and overboard on the Ray Rice talk. We're not the Baltimore Ravens, but I also think it's a major NFL and world topic right now, so I think it was somewhat warranted.
Well, it's okay. I mean, you guys got 3 shows a week, so every
right.
now and then I think it's okay to, you know.
Plus, it's not like
digress.
It's not like we're 0-1 and have lost the opener for the first time in a decade and are in sole possession of last place for the first time in the Tom Brady era. There's nothing to talk about.
And it's not like we don't panic around here.
Well, I mean, most of us don't panic. I mean, I don't panic. I mean,
I don't either.
They preach so much, you know, mental toughness, and I think a lot of our fans just...
That's a great point.
But anyways, with the whole 4-3-3-4 talk, I just think it's really interesting that, like, you know, the past few years when our defense was...
Who's that guy?
...sucking even more than it is now, people were... saying, like, oh, we got to get back to the 3-4 like we were when we were playing this winning Super Bowls and all this stuff. And, you know, now that this offseason people are saying, oh, now we kind of got that defense bag. Now, it's, you know, they want us to keep away from the 4-3. But,
yeah, but that's like saying, you know, people want to get back to the running game and Ridley gets hurt and Bolden gets hurt and we just want to stick with, you have to play to your personnel too. Right. There is a theoretical ideal that you may have philosophically, but you got to play to your personnel too.
Yeah. And another thing, do you guys, I mean, I know you guys might have said that we missed Tommy Kelly a little bit more than Logan Mankins, but I don't know. I mean, do you think we're going to keep Marcus Cannon at left guard? Just for me, I do not like him in that spot.
I could tell by the way you said, are we going to keep Marcus Cannon?
not if he plays like he did Sunday.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I think he's a better player than
him. Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, well,
I mean, in fairness, I don't really know what he is as a guard.
Well,
he played tackle better than he played guard the other day.
And Yates, I'll tell you, and we know he does a lot of inside work at ESPN and talks to a lot of people. He thinks that Marcus Cannon at right tackle last year was a dominant right tackle, a high-level right tackle.
I didn't see that.
I'm just offering opinions.
Did you see that?
Not really, but I'm just talking. You know, I like to embrace all opinions, all discourse, Paul.
Oh, boy.
All the guys that he tries to suck up to get more gigs.
By the way, that dude's kind of hot.
Not really.
No, I wouldn't accuse
him. Got an Adam's apple.
Kissing up to anybody.
You think Field Yates is hot, Andy? Him. My God.
Oh, her.
Him. I know who you're talking about.
Wow, we really are.
Sorry, luck, Jules.
All right.
Thanks for
that
calling.
That is my favorite part of the show when callers decide I got to go.
You don't let them talk. We let them talk. We didn't listen.
That was a little ridiculous.
I know that you got, you know, a short shift on EEI yesterday, and you're trying to make up for it now. But, you know,
what
let somebody
mean?
Else talk.
Our big battle didn't materialize either, Frank. Yeah. Well, Andy and I were supposed to be on against each other.
Red Sox ran late.
By the time the Red Sox were over, I was already done.
Let's go to Tyrone in Delaware. Haven't heard from him in a while. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Yeah, man. You know, well, the reason I ain't even heard from him in a while, because I'm not, for whatever reason, I'm just not in the same mode I was. I mean, I'm just not enthusiastic, because what's the big difference between 3-4-4-3? Because we played 4-3 last year. And Peyton Manning on all day to throw the ball. That's the last thing I vision. And the team has not changed. So I mean, is that
you don't think getting Darrell Revis is a change?
Man, that's a swap. Revis probably a little inch better than Talib, but that's a swap.
But they were doing well last year before all the injuries.
Yeah, but it's still the same thing. It's still the same thing to me, the defense. When I think I was listening in training camp, and you guys said, well, this is going to be the best defense since 2-3. I don't know who said it. I know I heard it.
Fred.
Paul, my man.
No, Fred. Oh, man. Fred, it was Fred.
No, I said this has the chance to be the best defense since the Super Bowl years.
Yeah, the chance. When you said didn't say it would be.
When
I said it was
I
the chance.
That,
yeah.
I'm like, really? I mean, I don't see the whether they play 4-3 or 3-4. I don't see the talent on the team. And then on the offensive side of the ball, is the same thing. When I told that a couple years ago, when Brandon Lloyd and Jacoby Jones was free agent, I called up. I said, "Look, man, let's go after Jacoby Jones."
I remember that actually.
Lloyd. Yeah,
and I liked Jacoby Jones. I thought that was a good target as a third receiver, an athletic guy who could give you some jolt in the return game. I liked that a couple of years ago. I remember that actually, Tyrone.
I think Bob Bertram told me he ran a Lloyd. I mean, you kidding me? Jacoby Jones won the Super Bowl for the Baltimore Ravens. He was the main factor. We just don't go after the playmakers, and that's the problem. The Philadelphia Eagles last year, they went from a 3-4 to a 4-3. They twinkled a little bit, but look at them. Their defense is fine because they got the horses. We don't. And then the thing with I got two more points. The thing with Tom Kelly, what pisses me off with the Kelly situation, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Kelly is a standout guy. He took a pay cut. Okay. So he's going to them and saying, "Yo, man, I need to make my money. Need to earn my money. So I need to stay on the field." So what do the Patriots do? What they always do? They got grimy with it and released the dude, and that's the second best tackle on your team. I mean, why would you do something like that?
I know.
Arrogant people would do something. I mean, and then with Gronk, right? Gronk, Andy, well, I said it a long time ago. From the time he was getting it, it's no fault of his own. But the reason why, nobody cannot sit here and tell me, the reason why Gronk is getting injured because he's the only playmaker. I mean, I like Edelman, but I don't have no faith in Dobson, Boyce, nor LaFells. That's done. I don't see nothing there. The only guy I might see a little something from is Timms, but he's suspended. But other than them three, no, I don't see nothing. Mm-hmm. And on top, that's why if we had a talented receiver just as good as Gronk, you can't tell me that safety that hurt Gronk, he would not be shadowing. He was right there when Gronk hit that, put that foot in the ground, he hit his leg. So he was right there. Now, if a nice receiver who could get behind deep, that safety probably paying a little bit off. And that's why Gronk people, and Andy, you said it, Gronk don't look the same. And to me, I think the best years that Gronk is behind him. And it's like I said, it's just the same old story, just a different day. Another one more thing, I would love to have Steve Smith. Steve Smith is making plays for the Baltimore, even though they lost. But
I got to admit, he looks pretty good. I thought he was done.
Did he? Because I don't know. I saw the one play.
No, he had like 8 for 100 and something. I mean, all the preseason has been that he's looked much.
I've always liked Steve Smith.
He's looked much faster than he did in Carolina.
He's a good athlete.
I thought he was done. Strong. Done as dirt, I thought. So I missed on that one.
Yep, smart.
He looked better than any receiver we have.
Yeah.
But anyway, you guys have a good one.
All right, Tyrone bringing it.
A lot of one more things.
Yeah, but
I'm also not sure he looked better than any receiver he had. Because I think if Brady hits Edelman on that deep throw, you got two deep passes to Edelman. Yeah. He's going to end with about 150 yards. Had the throw been better on the first one, it would have been a touchdown. I thought Edelman looked fine.
Yeah.
Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Maybe a little nicked up.
Hey, you guys. One thing that's really bothering me, I think we need to pump the brakes on Dominic Easley even more so than Aaron Dobson with the Alshon Jeffrey thing. Because I think there's still a possibility this guy can be a bust. Like, I don't see where everyone gets this instant. And I don't really see him as a first-round pick. I didn't think it was a good pick. Explain him to me.
Well, he's a unique-sized athlete who is, you know, 280, penetrating, athletic, playmaker, gets in the backfield, and used properly, certainly in college, was a disruptive force in the middle of a defense.
Yeah, I can't tell you what he's going to be with the Patriots, but I have high hopes for him, so I guess I'm guilty of it, too. I agree with Andy. I think that's what he was at Florida, and I think that he could be a disruptive player.
I mean, some people think if he weren't hurt, he would have been comped with Aaron Donald, and you would have been talking about top half of first-round guys, those two maybe vying for similar roles.
I understand that, but if we have to keep saying when he's never had the production, the injuries and excuse, I think he's the next Danny Amendola. We have to keep doing that.
Wait, he had the production 2 years ago. He had a very good year. He came back from the ACL, had a very good year, had another ACL.
But Justin, if you're worried, I don't blame you because
of course there's a chance he's a bust. He's done nothing. Well, he's a first round pick who's done nothing.
And we did go
with
from
knees.
To Justin's point, we went from the spring to saying this guy can be a good complementary piece to the defense and maybe provide some interior rushing on sub downs to now we need to get this guy back and we got to get him in the starting lineup and we got to get him next to he's going to help the rush.
Paul's absolutely right.
That's what it's changed because to when he hasn't played a down.
I remember talking about the defensive line and saying, look, with what they've got, Tommy Kelly.
Right.
And other,
you thought they were going to have Kelly. You thought they were going to be in the 4-3.
I thought Easley was a luxury. Now he's a necessity.
He's icing on, exactly. Now
because of Tommy Kelly.
Right. Now he becomes your last great hope. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, there's an emailer out there who's probably dying to take me to task for that because he's been really criticized. I forget who it is, but he's been criticizing me about about the defensive line. And because I keep saying, well, they have I don't think they need more bodies on the defensive line. I don't think they're good enough. There's a difference between not enough depth, they're thin there, and they're not talented enough. Mm. And I'm not sure they're talented enough. To Andy's point, he's been talking about this all offseason. You know, the Volanos and the Joneses and the Salingas are nice stories. They're good depth. But they're playing prominent roles. You know, Tommy Kelly was supposed to be part of this equation to me.
Well, because if you go 4-3 and you start Tommy Kelly and Vince Wilfork,
yes, that's a
and
good
sub
interior.
In Dominique Easley and Chris Jones and Silver. Okay, now
I think it's a deep position.
But when you say, first of all, I need three of those guys, not two, because I'm playing 3-4, and you need three defensive tackles essentially on the field. Well, already we're using our depth as a starter,
right?
And you removed one of the starters, right. Number two overall, right. Tommy Kelly. Hmm. Now, it doesn't look and nearly now, as good.
So you're taking the third and fourth guys on that list that you started with, and you're making them 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because they're going to be in the starting lineup with Vince.
It's the right. old domino effect we always talk about in one direction right. or the other.
So, and
you flip them up, you flip them down.
Did I read it correctly that Ninkovich's reps were...
Way down.
Way
oh,
down.
Oh, God, yeah.
He wasn't part of sub packages.
What's that about?
I don't know.
Because, listen, over the last 2-3 years, he's one of your biggest playmakers on defense. Now, you know, you can read into that any way you want, but that's a fact. I mean, when there was a play to be made, it was usually Ninkovich around the ball.
Should we check his contract? Maybe he has playtime incentives.
Well, and that's the part, and I know that, was it Tyrone and Delaware?
Snarky. I apologize.
Tyrone and Delaware took it to a little, yes. You know, the arrogance. He took it to the extreme. But I do think, and we talked about this briefly yesterday, when Andy had the report out of Arizona that he blogged about. There is an element of that. He took a pay cut and said, okay, All right, I get it. I'll earn my money in incentives. That's how when you take a pay cut, they always give you a chance to make it back. But the problem was, I think Tommy Kelly felt like they weren't going to give him an opportunity to make it back.
Right. Did you get that feeling?
From watching?
Yeah. Because I didn't.
Only,
I can't be like revisionist history.
But he's talking about in the game. See, in the preseason, when you see the guy go out there and he plays and then he comes off the field, you don't think anything of it because it's preseason.
They wouldn't have given him the incentives for preseason plays. Right?
No, but he said,
I saw what they were doing. I was out there. Yeah. I was starting, and I was coming out, and I saw what they were doing, so I went and asked them about it. There must have been something to it because Bill agreed. Wouldn't the easy fix there being Bill saying, no, Tommy,
you're our guy.
Tommy, you're our guy.
If you stay healthy, you'll
you
get
stay
your
healthy,
incentives.
You'll get all those incentives. You're going to be you and Vince,
but Bill
don't worry about
promises,
a thing.
But promises, we know that.
But clearly he was willing to let him go. So that tells me that he probably was going to use him on a part-time basis. And I'm with you, Andy, on this. I don't really see it. I don't understand why. So when you ask me, did I see that in the preseason? No, I didn't. But when a guy comes off the field in a preseason game, I don't think.
Right.
They're priming to keep his reps down.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
I think it's the preseason. That guy was out there and then he's not.
Coming off an ACL.
Either he did feel that way or somebody told him that's what we're going to do. So that
or certainly didn't tell him we're not going to do it.
Or what Tommy Kelly's telling the world isn't exactly accurate, which could also be a case of, you know.
Well, whatever, it's not doesn't look well on the decision-making process here because they released him.
Right.
Now, whether they released him because Tommy Kelly asked to be released or not doesn't change the equation for me. Why did we do it?
And he had a tackle for a loss and a QB hit in week one.
I didn't see any of that game.
No. I didn't either. I saw the stat sheet.
Let's go to Brandon in Seattle. Hey, Brandon.
The old...
Browner?
The old 10-20 start on Monday night. I did not see a play.
What's happening?
Sports Center.
Yes, I have...
I didn't even see that.
Well, my biggest concern is not AP, it's Cordell Patterson. Because I think, like, right now we're not so good in our special teams, and I just think that he's just going to kill us. And then get great position for AP, and then if we tackle like we did against Miami, we're going to get killed by AP. And I think special teams, to me, right now is bigger than offensive line, defensive line. I think that we have to make key in on Cordell Patterson to win this game because he's going to give us great – he's going to give the Vikings great upfield position. He'll supposed to be a receiver, but I think as a receiver, Darrell can, you know, kind of lock him down. But I think, to me, special teams is the biggest area of concern. What do you guys think?
Special teams as the biggest area of concern.
Well, Cordarrelle Patterson as a Pro Bowl caliber returner.
Yeah.
And I would just add in a playmaker. I mean, he had a long run last week, had 100 yards rushing last week. He's a guy that can be dangerous from anywhere. I think they still are working to sort of figure out his role in the passing game as an actual receiver. But, yeah, he scares me. You know, this team didn't tackle all that well last week, and he's a guy that can challenge you athletically.
It's more like Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
I mean, they use him in a lot of different ways. Now, he's a different kind of player, as Bill would say, you know, similar but different. Different kind of player, but They try to run him out of the backfield. They try to get the ball in his hands, and he's a dynamic return guy.
Patterson's going to make some plays. I can guarantee you that.
Well, I bet Peterson will, too.
That's not good. Because I know Peterson's going to make some plays. So if Patterson does, too, not good.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. Food's here. We'll be right back. More of your calls and emails here in PFW in Progress.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, bored? What happens was, we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep, me
could,
too.
Which you couldn't call
so
today.
We played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then,
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw. You know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
so
him.
So he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you just because he said it twice doesn't mean
if
he was okay.
And I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, getting ready for the Vikings.
Who says
socked him in the stomach?
I said socked.
Socked.
It was who's the pussy now?
Are we like watching Leave It to Beaver?
Yeah.
Like, I'll sock you, Wally.
Ah, right. Ma, I didn't do my homework on account of Eddie was here and he was giving me a noogie.
On account of was big.
On account of.
Oh, Dad's going to come home. He's going to slaughter me.
All right. What were we talking about?
Oh, Patriots.
Hold on. Oh, excuse me.
Okay, now?
Well, we just ate lunch.
So. It was good. Thanks for that slice of pizza.
Sure.
That is good pizza.
They make a good Greek pizza over at Omega.
They do. I think it's the sauce. I like the sauce.
It is. Mm. That's exactly what it is.
I think most pizzas, that's the key to me. Sauce.
Sauce?
Yeah.
Well, have you been to Leo's Pizzeria in Walpole?
No.
They have a New York-style pizza. Very large, but very thin. And the cheese is like it's that New York style cheese. I don't know if it's what type of mozzarella. It's not mozzarella. It's provolone. I don't know what it is. But it only tastes good right out of the oven. Right out of the oven, it's unbelievable. But the next day, it just doesn't taste the same.
Hmm.
You know, so sometimes
I bet it's still
cheese,
pretty good.
What?
I bet it's still pretty good.
Yeah. But you get it right out of the oven, so you burn the roof of your mouth. It's delicious.
Okay.
Leo's Pizzeria in Walpole.
Do they deliver?
I think they should
now because they just got a free ad.
But
from
my
Fred
point
Kirk.
Is, you don't want it. You have to eat it right there.
Oh, you can't even
they
get it delivered?
Get it delivered?
No, you bring it into your car and you eat it right away.
And you drop a little on your shirt.
Yeah.
So everybody knows where you've been.
It's the cheese, for whatever cheese they use, is only tastes the same when it's
probably a mixture, right?
Might be.
Could be.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of crusts that are that way, the thicker crusts. They're not good once they're cold and yucky.
Turns into cardboard.
Yeah. Especially the edge crust, the actual crust itself.
Right.
I always eat the crusts.
I do, I don't. I vary.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's stacked up. Frank's up first in Phoenix. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's up?
You know, long-time listener, first-time caller. Since we're on the Patriots defense talk, you know, might as well talk about the defense about, you know, the last game they had. You know, they did have an off game. You know, but a lot of people speculate, you know, that they had one bad game and, you know, the defense is bad. You know, our defense hasn't been that great the past, you know, couple of years. You know, offense has been on and off a couple of years as well. But, you know, I have faith in the Patriots. I'm a big fan of them. Hopefully they'll bounce back against the Minnesota game this week.
Yeah, and you're not exactly talking about a high-powered offense. I mean,
correct.
Although you're also weren't talking about a high-powered offense last week. You know, you're talking about a middling quarterback who you know, who you developed. You're talking about your first thing to stop is obvious, Adrian Peterson, and an inconsistent but dynamic athlete in Patterson.
Yeah.
And Rudolph does worry me, too. Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph. By the way, Mark writes, I mean, the reason why the cheese tastes that way, he says it's real mozzarella.
Mozzarella.
And it's not processed. That's why you have to eat it right away.
How come chicken parm comes with provolone on it?
I don't know. What cheese should come
Parmesan.
With?
It's why, that's yeah. what the parm
well,
is.
Parmesan is like
cheese.
But that's what the name
yeah, but
chicken
it doesn't
parm
come in slices, right?
It can come in anything you want it. You can buy a chunk of Parmesan.
I guess. And
it's very good when you do the real Parmesan. But why isn't
chicken
it chicken prove?
Why is it? Well, that's a good question.
The parm comes first. Put the parm on the top of the breading.
Yeah, but it's like. It's,
but then they layer it with provolone.
It's mostly sauce
some
and provolone
places, not
cheese.
All, not all of them.
Yeah, there may be Parmesan cheese mixed in there, but it's certainly not the overwhelming flavor or factor.
Because I've
the
had
dish.
A parm sandwich where it is the sprinkled Parmesan cheese all over the piece.
Might
of
have
meat.
Also been.
I don't think I would like that.
Yeah.
Might have also been where it was invented.
Is Parmesan
Parma.
A place?
No, Parma.
Oh,
and
Parma.
Parmigiana means of Parma.
Oh, of Parma.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. You think he's right?
I don't know.
He's putting his reputation on the line.
Yes, he is.
As a worldly, knowledgeable traveler
I don't know
from
if that's,
Italy.
I don't know if that's where it
beep,
was invented.
Beep.
But that's what that
beep.
Means. No, that's.
Paul's could care less.
Beeper's
just,
actually going yeah. up.
Paul's like a pig in poop. He's
well,
just eating.
I was going to just chime in.
Care less what the discussion
my
is.
My good friend Wiggy told me the key to a good chicken parm is finding a place that makes a good chicken parm. So.
That's like those that hotel's commercial. Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Right. When it's true, it's true.
One thing about the Minnesota offense, Andy, you and I started talking about some of this stuff as we were walking down.
We did.
We were talking about Mike Zimmer defensively. The other side of that that worries me a little bit is North Turner has sort of given this team some trouble. Last year with a you know, really subpar Cleveland team, offensively, they were brilliant that day.
Brilliant!
With Jason Campbell playing quarterback. They had no answers for Josh Gordon. They had no answers for the Jordan Cameron. I was going to say for the tight end because I always confuse which one.
Jordan
Cameron. So that North Turner element sort of worries me a little bit. Mm. He's a guy that has come up with some schemes that have given the Patriots problems in the past.
I told Paul Fred that Mike Zimmer, just reading his transcript, I didn't watch it, but he sounds like a sort of an old school football guy who's personable, but I liked somebody said, you know, what do you recall from your battles with Bill Belichickers? And he said, you know, I haven't really thought about it. And then he said, you know, I think we played him three times. We won two. It was just sort of this very subtle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked
remembers
it.
That.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that.
let's go to Dwayne in Boston. Hey, Dwayne.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
All right, I just have two quick points, and I'm going to go. First thing is, what is with Roger Goodell and videotapes? It seems like every time
he's not good with that.
He has evidence in his hands. He loses it. He destroys it.
Doesn't watch it.
It doesn't make any sense. I think that he forged the instrument of his demise by coming in as the conduct sheriff, that he needs to be the last person of resort, he needs to be the person that makes that call. He needs to handle all the evidence, and you know what? He always bungles the evidence, so he needs to just give it to somebody else. At least the conduct policy.
Right. Yeah, he wouldn't do well on CSI. They'd always be Roger. You can't touch the dead body. You have to leave it alone.
I was
alone.
Just thinking that same thing.
Oh shoot! I dropped my gum. Let me reach in his mouth and get it.
Right.
And the second point is, you know, I'm really worried about Tom Brady because when he first came into the league, I don't remember him talking about trusting his receivers. He just threw to the open guy, mm-hmm. And I can see why he wouldn't trust Tompkins or maybe some of these other wide receivers, maybe because they dropped the ball. But you know what? I would much rather see him throw the ball to an open Tompkins and he drops it than stand there, pat the ball, and get sacked or throw it over the head of Edelman. Just throw it to the open guy. Yeah. I think that if he thinks that next year there's going to be all of these new receivers, or maybe there's some new receivers that might come in through the door this year, his years are coming to an end. He got to find a way to work with the people that he has around him. And until he figures that out, I'm going to be worried about the future of Tom Brady as part of as the leader of our offense. He needs to throw to the open guy. I think it's simple, but for some reason, it's not happening.
Yeah.
He needs to trust him. And that extra layer is, I don't know. You know what? I'll put it simply. I want to see Tom Brady play stupid. I look at Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, at sometimes he just looks like he just throws the ball up and he just makes a play. Brady needs a symphony. Some other quarterbacks they're playing and they can play and they can get jazzy. I want to see Brady get jazzy every now and then.
Okay,
jazzy.
That's it.
All right,
and I'm done.
Thanks, Dwayne. Making some music analogies there.
Yeah.
As opposed to the precise symphony, just put a little fusion in there, a little jazz fusion.
Yeah, as one of the biggest Joe Flacco fans that you'll find out there, I don't want Brady taking on any characteristics of Joe Flacco.
No?
Yeah, not really sure that's the guy that we want to be emulating.
Certainly the mono brow.
I like Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
I think he's better than a lot of other people do.
I think he meant playing, Fred. I don't know if
he meant
physical.
He does sort of take some chances with the ball that I don't always think are
Fred, you
wise.
Know your future franchise quarterback would appear to have a mono brow.
Garoppolo?
Yeah.
Yeah, well... He's Greek, right?
Italian.
Italian, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
I just assumed that he was Italian.
He's Italian.
Oh.
Garoppolo.
Chris Pereira assumed he was Greek because he said, you know, that's how it is with those Greeks.
let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, consider fellas, how y'all ball. Doing today?
Good.
I'm hoping that Bill is looking to make some trades, get a center and a left guard. I knew it might cost something in the cap or whatever, but I hope you're looking for something a little bit better than that, because I'm like the other call, sort of worried about Brady. Not him doing what he's saying, but getting hurt and ending the season. That's what I'm worried about, you know.
Yeah.
And Tyrone, I agree with him 100%. If whatever team get there, he's going to sideline Dobson or Tompkins and LaFell properly, if they give the man a chance, if he makes the team. And they give him a chance.
Tim's.
Instead of Bill believing this, chicken salad.
Chicken parm.
No, it's chicken poop. That's what it is. It's chicken poop. And for the defensive line, man, I heard y'all talking earlier. Like I said yesterday, those are average players. Those are not playmakers on defensive line. Salinga, Jones, Silverman, whatever. No, they're not going to stop the run like that. They didn't stop it last year, just towards the end, and we still got ran off. So until he figure out that he's not in the Giants organization in 1990 or 1980, wow. We're going to always be like this. That's what I think.
All right, Eldridge. Hey.
Lots of heat for the head coach.
Lots of heat. Let's move over to Barry.
All we are
Barry Incion, the ultimate Patriots road planner. Hey, Barry, what's going on?
Hey, Fred. Good to talk to you guys. I want to make a quick announcement about for any fans that will be in Minnesota this weekend. We've got a group who will be meeting up on Sunday morning let me back up a little bit. You guys know that the Vikings are building a new stadium, so this year they're playing all of their games at the University of Minnesota stadium on campus.
Right.
So fans will be meeting up on Sunday morning at a place called the Hole Sports Lounge, which is on campus, and it's just 5 minutes from the stadium, so they'll just walk over there. It opens up at 8 a.m. All ages are welcome, and if anybody wants to get more details about what's going on there, I'd like to invite them to join Patriots Tailgate on Facebook.
Okay.
So that should be a nice little kind of indoor tailgate situation there right on the campus. And then also wanted to mention, since I don't know if you guys have talked about it yet, but the fan club registry has been relaunched. So if any other fans are looking to find out if there's places to watch you know, Patriots games, whether it be with a fan club.
What happened?
I think we lost them.
Nice job, Fred.
I did not do that.
No, I can vouch for Fred this time.
It's still on.
Barry, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, what happened?
Bad cell.
Oh, did it cut out?
Yeah. So you were saying if you want, if you're looking for a fan club or a place to watch on the new registry on Patriots.com.
Exactly. Yeah. So and if you don't have anything in your area, maybe it's time you get one started because it's a great way to connect with other Patriots fans that, you know, might be right around the block from you, and it's always more fun to enjoy the games with other folks than just to be at home by yourself.
Absolutely. Well, thanks. So what's the name of that bar again in Minnesota?
It's the Hull Sports Lounge, and it's also right on the University of Minnesota campus.
Okay, the Hull Sports Lounge, that's Sunday morning. What time do you think
they'll... They open it at 8. They're opening up early because
12 o'clock somewhere.
Normally they wouldn't be open until 10 or 11 or something.
Right.
It'll probably get pretty busy, so I would recommend trying to arrive there pretty much when they open, if at all possible.
And kickoff is noon.
There's still the possibility that some of the folks will get together on Saturday night. Hopefully they'll get something planned between now and Saturday. So, yeah, anybody in Minneapolis should...
Well, let me know about that because I'll be in town and, you know, wherever there's a party.
Ready to rip it up, right? You and your crutches.
I won't be out there myself, unfortunately, but, yeah, we'll see if we can get something, you know, just some kind of casual meetup downtown planned. So,
okay.
Yeah, people can, yeah.
All right, cool. Barry. Well, thanks for the info.
And then, Andy, I think your Patriots tailgate T-shirt.
I got it this morning. Thank you.
Did you really? Okay.
Very nice.
And if there's any of the rest of you guys want, just let me know. We're going to do our final order tomorrow. If any of the listeners want to purchase one, again, join Patriots Tailgate on Facebook. We've got our own custom T-shirt this year with the road schedule in the back, kind of like a concert tour schedule, and our own Patriots Tailgate logo on the front. So
cool. Very cool. Like All right. Patriots Tailgate on Facebook. Thanks, Barry.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Barry does remind me that we launched yesterday the new fan club registry. You can go to fanclubs.patriots.com or just go to patriots.com and go in the fan zone. And it's really cool because not only are all the fan clubs around the world listed, and then the club presidents can go in and change their info, but now the members of each club can update photos or write a story and update it to the site. And as well as bars. So if you're a bar out there and you show the Patriots game, you can register your bar and put that up there and, you know, tell fans from around the world when you open, you know, what your amenities are. And your Yelp reviews are right there. So, I mean, that's kind of our way of letting the community kind of be the monitor there. So if you are a bar and you say that you show the Patriots.
You better show the Patriots.
Better show it. You know, don't use our site just to get some free publicity.
Yeah.
Because your Yelp reviews will be right there.
Unless, you know, you have a deal with Yelp and then you can alter it based
on
the
these
rulings in the courts.
But it's really cool. Check it out. Fanclubs.patriots.com. It's all brand new. You upload stories. You upload photos.
Is there a map?
Start a club. Yep. Start a club. Join a club. Register your bar. Find a bar wherever you are. It works on mobile as well, so we're really excited about it. We've always had the register, but this takes it to the next level.
You were so excited you needed a fan to remind you to talk about it.
Well, I have so many things on my mind.
Yes.
It's sometimes hard.
This show's awesome.
I have
fans call in to tell us what we should be promoting. Fans tell us when they're done talking to us.
Well,
it's a good show.
It's a train wreck.
We also we posted something yesterday, which I think fans might be interested in. It's kind of fun. As you know, every road trip, the team has to dress up. There's a dress code. And so what we did before the Miami game is we took photos of all the players as they came to the bus. And then we created a gallery of what we thought were the best dressed players. And of those, I think we picked maybe five that you can vote on. So right now, if you go on Patriots.com and search for Pat's Catwalk or Patriots Catwalk, you can vote on who was the best dressed player for week one.
Who were the five? Do you remember?
Fred Kirsch.
Well, I know Edelman. Tavon Wilson was definitely one.
What Tavon?
Tavon, too.
Yeah. I forget, but.
TB12?
Check it out. No.
Really?
I don't think he was.
He's understated.
I don't think he made the best dressed. He might have. But I know he's in the gallery, but I don't know if he made the top five.
That's big.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like the networks are doing that.
Yeah.
Stuff. ESPN and NFL Network are doing like this red carpet.
They actually
segment
do it.
And if you know, on NFL Sundays.
Have you seen
it?
And
I were watching it Sunday morning.
Pre-game show, and they spend a segment talking about what people are wearing as they arrive at the stadium.
Now, this is our lifestyle.
Listen,
like
the shots of the guys getting off the bus.
Ken Brell Tompkins. Listen, Ken Brell Tompkins has a stylist. Okay, that's these players are paying
attention.
That's
why he'll be on the broke season 2.0.
Players are paying attention to this. I saw a tweet from this guy, or woman, I don't know who claims to be Ken Brell Tompkins' stylist.
Oh, so you don't know for sure, and you don't know what to pay.
It's great
thing.
Social
But he
content.
Had the photo of him getting on the bus. So.
Our photo.
Yeah, he took it from us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think you should be involved. Coaches, players, everybody in the travel party, buses 1 to 4.
Yeah, that we'll be shutting that down real quick if we did that. But it's fun. And
did Edelman have a fanny pack in the photo?
No.
Nah.
I think from the last time I saw the poll, Edelman was winning. Although I don't think he should be. I think just people familiar. Shane Vereen was sharply dressed.
Sharply.
Is that on the app?
If you go on the app and look for that gallery,
see if I can find it.
Search for Pat's Patriots catwalk.
Pat's Patriots?
Yeah.
New England?
Yeah, I thought Shane Vereen was very nattily dressed.
The nattily clad Shane Vereen?
It's supposed to be look good, not necessarily flashy, right? Or...
Oh, both. I mean, whatever.
Because we've had guys over the years that have been crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you had Brandon Spikes was a pimp every time he got on.
And sure. I mean,
some of those.
Yeah, we've had, who was it? Henry Thomas used to wear a bowler hat.
Wiggy used to have some great
stuff. Yeah, Wiggy.
Larry Wiggy.
Larry
Wiggy.
Bernie Adams. He has like that plaid.
Well, the Velcro
or whatever. Yeah.
A velour, I should say, not Velcro.
I didn't really know Velcro.
App is not loading.
And that's it's your fault.
Could be the Wi-Fi.
Here we go.
Could
that
be
might the be the funniest
all right, so
thing
where do
you've
I have to look
week.
Here?
I don't know. Just go down your news feed until you find
Barry Incion, could you call back and tell Eric where he could find this photo gallery? You seem to know more than
let's
Fred.
Go back to the phones. Larry's in Endicott, New York. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good.
Good.
Hey, good. I'd like to change the lineup here a little bit, maybe along a been gloom and doom here a little bit, so I thought maybe I'd bring some stuff back that maybe would brighten up the day here a little bit. I don't know. It's up to you guys.
Okay, go.
What you think about it. First of all, I do agree with Fred that when Brady throws the ball, it looks like the throw is like maybe 10 or 15 degrees to the left of where it looks like he's aiming.
Yes.
I don't notice it that it's his hand. I just notice that it happens.
Yep.
The other thing is, we could be really.
Is this the part that's supposed to make us feel better?
Chandler Jones gave me a call a couple months back, thanking me for my season tickets. You know, being a season ticket member.
Yep.
Then I got a sweet letter from Fred, reminding me to subscribe to the Patriots Football Weekly.
When was that?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, when you renewed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm buying everything.
Yeah.
Reminding me.
Yeah, thank you.
I really appreciate it. And I'd like to just, Andy, give him credit for his marathon run there.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, you guys really do feel like I know you or we know you as fans out here, so it's kind of nice to, I think we should be calling you Marathon Man.
Oh, I like it. That's what my wife calls me.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's what your mother called me, too.
Ho, 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 hey!
Good, Larry.
That
good
was well
Larry.
Done. Well done. Caller of the day.
Wow.
It sounded good when she said it, so I thought you should be.
That was
awesome.
Quick. That was good. Well done, Larry.
See, now you're supposed to say, that's it. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah. Drop the mic.
Leave them wanting more.
Well, I got just one thing for Paul, too. We always complained the last couple years of our defenders not turning their heads when they're looking to look for the ball.
Yep.
And I was kind of hoping that maybe Revis would teach our guys how to do that. And I know Paul doesn't think that it really helps when a guy's trailing 2 yards behind a receiver, but I think it's the only thing that can help at that point. So
it's
they turn your head anyway.
Yeah, apparently it's a lot harder than it looks.
But it's all part
of
coverage.
Very few guys can do it well.
It's all part of coverage. I think Revis does it better because he's closer to his guy. And Larry's right.
Yeah.
You know, when you're 2 yards away from a guy and you're chasing him, if you stop and turn back, you're going to end up 5 yards away.
But sometimes if you stop and jump, you could get in the way of the pass.
Yeah, but how do you know when you're beaten really so badly? Hard. That's why you need to have good coverage.
Yeah.
It's not hard. You need to cover your guy.
Well, I think it's the hardest job in all of sports, playing cornerback.
That's not my point. I'm not saying that playing cornerback isn't hard. I'm saying anybody could just turn around and try to make a play on a ball, not knowing if the ball is there. Anybody could do that. But if you're not in close proximity to your receiver, you're in trouble. And they're not taught to do that. I've talked to the defensive backs about this a lot, Devin McCourty specifically, who gets really annoyed with people when they constantly say that, why don't they ever look back?
Almost as annoyed as fans gets with players who don't look back.
Right.
It's a two-way street of annoyance.
But the bigger problem is the separation that tends to happen on plays.
Now, I know when I played football, and I'm sure when you guys, the ball was in the air, everybody would yell, ball, right?
Right.
If you're on an NFL field.
Probably a little harder to do that.
I was going
to
say, would you hear that? No, you probably wouldn't.
Well, it depends on what stadium you're playing in, I think. Yeah. If you're playing like in Seattle, it'd probably be really hard to hear. If you're playing in a place that's, quarters full and there's not, a lot of cheering.
Right here.
You probably could.
Last year, if you recall, Marquise Cole and Devin McCourty teamed up for that ridiculous interception against Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly they heard him. I forget even now.
They called each other out.
Was it Cole who tipped it to
McCourty?
He yelled to tip it to him. And
that's right next to it. But
they
heard it. The first guys that see the ball in the air would be the guys up front.
Right.
And try to relay that back to the guys in the secondary.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's really hard. Yeah.
Well, or the safety's yelling it out.
Yeah,
but he's worried too. He's running.
Yeah, you're all covering back there. Yeah,
I found your gallery, Fred. There are 21 photos, but there's nothing that allows me to vote on it.
Doesn't work on
mobile. 21 player photos in the gallery.
Maybe on mobile? I don't know. Did you see the article?
No.
You're in the gallery, but you got to get out of the.
He only reads it for the article.
You look at the gallery, but then you get out of the gallery and go back to the article, and the voting is in the article.
Oh, I didn't see an article.
You told him to go to the gallery.
Pats or Patriots, cat.
Yeah, didn't see
scratch
it.
Back.
Just the cat walk. All right, let's go to Chris from Niagara Falls, who was on a break from work. I hope he still is. Hey, Chris.
Only one of them.
Hey, guys, I'm just finishing up the break, but I was digging in my lunchbox, and I found this ham sandwich here. I was thinking maybe it could play offensive tackle better than Sebastian.
Oh,
I wonder if you guys knew how I could get it a workout with the team.
Oh. Everybody's down on sea bass.
Yes, brother. But it's good to talk to you guys. I got to go now, but I want to leave you with this. I'm lucky enough to be able to see Tom and the boys every year in Buffalo because I'm from Niagara Falls, Canada. But we're checking one off the bucket list. Me and some buddies are traveling to Foxborough in November to see our boys take on Denver.
Nice.
So,
good game.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. So I was hoping you guys could maybe give me a couple pointers, like some great places to eat or must-see things while we're in town.
In Denver?
No,
we're in New England.
We'll be in New England.
Yeah. Oh, the Denver game. That's
where are you staying? Do you know?
No, not yet. We got the rooms booked, but my buddy handled it, so I'm not too sure.
Okay. Well, if you're in Boston, I mean, there's so many places to see. I mean, it's
right.
You're in a big city, but you know, if you have time to either get here early on before the game or the day before, right? Patriot Place, which is attached to the stadium, has tons of restaurants now and.
The hall.
And things in the hall of Patriot Place, the Hall of Fame. You want to check that out?
Walpole, Fred?
What's that?
Okay.
What's the name of that pizza
Leo's
place?
Pizzeria.
Leo's Pizza. Yeah. Try that out.
Yeah, but there's a lot of.
Splitsville, you can bowl.
Yeah, there's a lot of restaurants and bars right attached to the stadium. So,
can't beat it.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's fantastic. Thanks, boys.
Okay, Chris.
Talk to you.
All right. That was good.
I was digging in my lunchbox, found a ham sandwich. That was good. We've had a couple good callers today.
Sure, they're on their
way.
You know
who we haven't heard from in a long time? I actually was thinking about this driving in. Where's Lucky?
Lucky, I got him some tickets, so he's still around. He's very,
say
very busy.
Like that
with
on the air. Are you a bleeping?
He bought them.
We have 200,000 people listening to this show.
They were my tickets. You know, I can do whatever I want with my tickets.
No, no one's saying that you can't sell tickets.
So apparently, guys, if you're listening and you want tickets, call Fred.
I don't have any more. They're all gone. No, but he's very busy with his football team.
The youth football team.
Right. So
he's a good coach.
Yeah, he's actually bringing a group to one of the games.
Did they come? He usually brings them to camp, too. Did they come?
I don't know.
I don't think they did. I never saw them.
Yeah.
And I was at every practice.
You know what we haven't heard from in a long time? Remember Craig? from South Carolina.
And then at Philly.
And then he moved to Philly.
Yeah.
We haven't heard from Craig in
a while. Yeah, I can't remember the last time.
He was had some of the best calls.
Unintentionally.
Well,
he's all that in a bag of chips.
Former lunch sponsor is in the underground.
Oh, I think he's dead. I think his money ran out and he's dead. He's,
really?
He's, yeah, fleeing the authorities.
You think so?
Yep.
Oh, that's too bad.
If I'm wrong, James, prove me wrong. Call.
By lunch.
By lunch.
Jeremy is in Regina, Saskatchewan. Hey, Jeremy.
Regina.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Pizzeria Regina.
That's and it's good. Regina, Saskatchewan.
I'm just catching up from yesterday because I haven't been able to listen to you guys. And you guys brought up the whole CFL thing with Ray Rice yesterday.
Yep.
Just to clarify, that rule came into effect right after Ricky Williams.
See, I thought it was more recent than some of those examples.
Because I knew Ricky Williams had done it, and I thought they put it in after that. That's what
and
I
And it's also been
like
sucking up.
It was
up.
Like 07. 07 yeah. season after that, they put in a rule, if you're suspended in the NFL, we ain't taking you in the CFL either. So.
And it's been part of they're trying to have a goodwill working relationship between the two leagues.
Yeah, well, I don't know about... maybe the leagues are. The fans aren't too fond of each other, though, up here. I can tell you that for sure. Being up in Saskatchewan, I don't know if you guys know a whole lot about the teams in the CFL, but this Regina is like Rough Riderville.
Oh. Right.
We got the Saskatchewan Rough Riders up here.
Right, yeah. Now, you still have two teams with the same nickname. Ottawa still does.
Do they have hooligans in the CFL?
Or do they change?
Ottawa actually just came a Rough Rider. They have the worst name ever. They're called the Red Blacks.
The Red Blacks.
Well, you figure you suspect you can offend more people if you call them the Red Blacks.
I was going to say, is Daniel Snyder the owner?
Funny, their colors are green
Throw
and yellow.
Throw some yellows in there.
Well, they used to be green and white. Maybe they're not green and white anymore.
They go the South Park angle. We're going to offend everybody.
No, Saskatchewan has always been green and white. Ottawa,
oh,
they
Saskatchewan
were
had the green
and
white.
Even though they were called the Rough Riders, they were their colors were always red and
that was
black.
Close enough.
Do
I
they
the
have
Rough
a
Riders
mascot?
Green and white.
They've been in and out of the CFL for the last 20 years. They come back for a few years and then they decide it's not worth it, not working out, and they leave again. So
when's the next time they have one of those anniversary banquets that Joe Capp can beat the crap out of some guy?
Does Doug Flutie still play in the league?
We got a lot worse quarterbacks than Doug Flutie, let me tell you. Mm. But it's tough being up here and being an NFL fan, man. I get ragged on quite a bit, and they're not just indifferent about the NFL. A lot of people up here, because they're so into the CFL, they just hate on the NFL hard. But you know, it gives me a lot of options to troll people and have a lot of fun with it. So
yeah, because I mean, you're fighting from the point of reason and righteousness. I mean, it's a minor league football.
It's like buying a brand new car or just going to that sleazeball down the street and getting like an old 89 Tempo, you know?
Right, yeah. One is the highest level and one is a developmental nothing.
All right, thanks, Jeremy, for the call. Mike writes in, and I do want to get this in, commenting on the chicken parm topic from earlier during the show. After doing a web search, I found the origin of the dish is unclear. It is claimed by both the southern regions of Campania in Sicily and by the northern province of Parma. So it appears that Eric was correct. And a Patriots-related question, do any of you feel that the Patriots will bring a player in by the trade deadline, or is this the team they will have to work with for the rest of the season?
They'll bring a player
in. They might bring a player in. The trade deadline's, you know,
ways off.
Yeah.
By a player, I mean, I'm sure that Andy and Eric are right. There'll be players coming in. Right. But are we talking about, a couple years ago bringing in Aqib Talib or several years ago bringing in Randy Moss or trading a guy of that stature, Randy
Oh,
Moss.
No, I don't think it'll be a big
deal. Or are you just talking about acquiring players?
Can I bring in Lashay Seastrunk?
I just saw that tweet a little while ago.
Oh, what?
Someone said, I can't believe a player of that
caliber.
He's
the big, fast dude.
Is not even on the practice court.
Jacked and was running over us in practice.
Baylor running back. Mm-hmm. He had a great preseason.
Can we bring him in?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like my kind of guy.
Sea strunk. Looks like a tree trunk.
Yeah, bring it in. I mean,
big,
I'll easily
thick,
get rid of Bolden for him.
Back. But he is unemployed.
Why?
Not even on anybody's practice squad.
Why?
I don't know.
Justin and
I love when he does that.
Oh, no. Mm. He already called. I'm not going to read his. Jeff writes in, couldn't agree more with the caller. Brady overthinks things. This has been increasing over the year, probably since the loss in 07.
He's getting very upset with the people talking about Tom.
He plays tight. Patriots in general need to adopt more of an attitude. This is what we are doing, not trying to outthink their opponent all the time. I grew up going to every game of the 85 Bears. Well, they were a team that could just do what they do.
So Brady was great because he was the smartest guy who always find the fifth option and blah, 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 and now he's overthinking. People are never happy. They look for a reason to
bitch. When people are playing well.
Yeah, and he had one game where he didn't play well. Mike Reese with a good stat. Did you see that? Highest combined quarterback completion percentage in the history of the NFL last week. And you know who had the lowest of the week?
Tom Brady.
Imagine what it could have been if he had a good game.
Wow. Jeff in Florida, I think Jamie Collins could be an excellent player. Paul, however, is spot on about him last week. Collins missed several tackles and over-pursued defending the rush. He was the worst player on the field late in the game. Is there evidence to suggest
that? Yeah, I think Paul's right.
Is there evidence to suggest he will play better in Minnesota, or is Collins just not a three-down linebacker?
I don't think he was the worst player on the field.
I don't think he played very well, but that's...
He missed some tackles.
Overstating things.
He definitely had a better first half than a second half.
Well,
right?
A lot of people did. Right. It's called the Patriots.
He got sucked into the same thing that the whole team did.
I thought that he wore down as the game went on, but I also thought they were asking him to do, and I said this to you, Andy, during the game, two or three different times I saw him trailing Mike Wallace on shallow crosses.
Yeah.
Sorry. I know that Jamie Collins is a fast linebacker.
I don't want him covering
but
Mike
that
Wallace.
Doesn't mean I want him covering one of the fastest wide receivers in football across the entire middle
That's
of the field.
Darrell Reeves
now, don't put guys in a position
to fail.
To fail.
And I know that he came
everybody
up,
tells us Bill puts him in position to succeed.
That's right.
And I know that he came up with a big hit. That was a good play. That was a good hit that caused a fumble
that
on
was before
on
he
Wallace.
Ran out of gas.
But I don't want him necessarily because I had even read some stuff that, you know, the deep cross that Wallace had that he beat Revis on, another one that was way behind Wallace. He twisted all around, actually made a nice catch, but it was a terrible throw. Supposedly, Collins should have been much deeper. And I think our buddy Greg Bedard, in his All-22 review, Collins caused that. This is, to me, was another indication of everybody, you know, anybody but Revis. You know, was anybody but Revis's fault in that game? And they were talking about Collins not being deep enough in his drop on that. Again, I know he's fast for a linebacker, but that was a good 25 yards downfield. What are we asking him to do if he was supposed to be deeper than that, right?
Right.
Isn't that asking a little too much of a linebacker?
Sure.
I don't like when he patronizes.
I do believe it.
Listen, I never scraped a C. I understand.
And I would add in that even more to ask of a 265-pound linebacker in a 106-degree heat index.
You know, tight ends, by all means. You want to match him up against Julius Thomas? And I know I'm going to lose some of my battles, but listen, he's an athletic linebacker taking on an athletic tight end. You know, if their guy beats your guy, that's a fair fight. It's not a fair fight asking him to go 30 yards downfield to disrupt a deep crossing route on a very fast receiver.
How many tackles did he have?
I don't know.
It wasn't two or fewer, was it?
Well, I'd have to think he had more than two tackles.
I think he did.
Although he got run, as you would say, the bleep over on the clinching touchdown.
Oh, yes. He was
the one where Will Fork almost had him.
Will Fork missed, and then he ran through Collins, Ryan, and McCourty.
Nestor from San Diego writes in, for the gallery, go to the menu and tap photos. Definitely Brady should be the top five. Ninkovich, Vereen, Arrington, Edelman as well. I enjoy your show. Thanks for everything you guys do. We'll be fine this weekend. Patriots 27-17.
That's very close to my prediction.
Prediction? It's not showing up on the app. It's only the gallery on the app.
Yes.
Did you go to news?
I had to make a prediction.
I went to news and
access.
I went to photos. And all I'm getting is the gallery of 21 images.
Sounds like a mobile problem.
Possibly.
User error.
Now, is this the lifestyle section?
Hey.
Via Patriots.com mobile?
Yeah, it's up. It's up.
What's up?
Lifestyle.
Oh, I know.
We'll do one more call, then we'll take a break because we have picks.
Sorry, who am I talking to? The editor of Patriots. I apologize.
Was specifically told not to look at it yet. It'll be better in a week or two, so I've kind of stayed away.
We have a full slate of games today, so we have to hurry. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
So,
I'll make it quick, y'all, but I was thinking about the relationship between Amendola and Brady. Do you think that's going to really improve? Because that's the thing that I'm kind of...
It better. It has to.
I know, because, you know, I called...
Why is it bad?
Why does it have to?
Because if it doesn't, it's a bust of a signing.
Oh.
Because of talent or relationship.
Then it doesn't have to.
I'd like to know why it's bad. I don't understand why it's bad. Why
I don't
they don't like each other.
Yeah,
why Brady.
We don't.
Brady,
know that.
We don't. But yeah. Everybody says it like it's fact. So.
Circumstantial evidence would certainly back it up.
Like what? You say,
like the fact that he doesn't throw the ball to him all
yeah,
that
but then
often.
I see him chumming around on the sideline.
Yeah, I'm well, saying he, like I didn't say he hates
like
him.
I feel like if they get better, then of course you think that's another target, that's an option. I feel like the offense ideally will get better if you feel, obviously.
Well,
if
I think they benefit much more greatly from having one of the outside guys
if
develop
if
something.
If Edelman's limited in this game, you got to have Amendola step up. You know.
Yeah, and listen, if Edelman were to be out of the lineup, I think that that would happen. I think Amendola would get targeted much more often, and Andy would be seen. See, I didn't think there was anything, and I think Andy would be right. I don't think it's necessarily anything. It's not a personal thing. It's not a personal thing. He feels more comfortable with the guys that he throws to. Edelman.
Six times, or whatever the hell it was.
Edelman and Gronkowski.
Got to get Brandon LaFell involved. Got to get that third-string tight end involved.
And I just think, I've said this many times, I know, but I just think there's some redundancy between Amendola and Edelman.
Right.
I don't think you need them both.
So instead, we'll go to guys who can't do it, who can't do anything, who aren't redundant. They're different, get me, but they're not good.
Yeah, and I think if one of those guys doesn't emerge as good, then they're in trouble.
All right, time for picks. Kevin, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go around the NFL and find out who did what last week.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster piss?
I have not.
You don't know from soup then if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
is it a soup?
Every once in a while it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster biscuit just
because it's a stew, a soup, or is it
no
a stew?
Soup for you? It's like sex for your
throat.
Is
it chowder a soup? Eric already has sex with his brother.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, getting down the home stretch, and it's Thursday, which means it's time to go around the NFL with our weekly picks. Paul, what happened last week?
Well, it's the calendar has changed, Fred, but clearly everything has stayed the same. Fred Kirsch, 12-4. Week one, nonsense.
Well,
Pshaw, as you would say.
Okay.
Let's see. I was 9-7, and Eric and Andy were 8-8. However,
against the spread,
with the spread, there's a new sheriff in town.
Uh-oh.
And his name is Eric Scalavino.
Wow. Eric's won a few weeks over the course of this.
10-6. Good,
nothing
solid.
Nothing more meaningless than being the leader after 1 week.
Good, solid ATS right there.
That is. 10-6 is good.
Good, solid record against the spread.
Yep.
Let's see. Andy was second at 9-7. Fred was third at 8-8. And as usual, I was last at 7-9.
And Paul. How did you do
you know
so
why?
Good? Because you used to keep the book. Spread on this, but so terrible on the pregame show.
Well, one of the games
because
I
my picks.
And one of the games I lost. Why? What did I do on the pregame show? Now he's
Andy was the best at 2-4. So the other, you only won one game.
Oh, so how did you just say, how did I do so good on this? I went 7-9. That's terrible.
Yeah, but still get 7.
You used to be good ATS.
Plus, by the way, if you pick all the games we lost, then
and one of the ones,
we don't do all of them. So if you picked the ones we lost.
We had the same picks. How did
see, whenever Paul loses, he questions, you cheated. I'm not telling you to do it right. Well, I could never lose.
I'm pretty sure we had one game that was different.
I had Paul as having Kansas City, Baltimore, Denver, Chicago, the Jets, and New England. The Jets was the only one that won.
Okay, I definitely had Kansas City, and I lost that one. You picked who, Andy?
I don't know.
You had Baltimore.
I had Baltimore.
And you had Denver covering 7.5.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I was counting that as a win, and that was a loss.
You,
because
Chicago, you took
job.
Chicago, and you took it. New England.
I was counting as a win.
No, in my head, I was thinking they're up by 21 with 10 minutes left. I'm thinking that's a win, but they didn't.
So Andy's
didn't
in first
cover.
After 1 week here. So now he's going to switch his rule about the week one.
Well, you know, the cream generally rises to the top pretty quickly.
Yeah, especially when they can't speak.
All right, we got to get going. We have a full slate. We don't have a lot of time.
My mother is never at a loss for words, my friend.
Let's start with tonight's game, a good one. Pittsburgh at Baltimore, and this is now the first CBS Thursday night game.
Right, and it's perfect because it's, you know, Ray Rice's old team.
Nothing could go wrong here.
Yeah. So Pittsburgh at Baltimore, 825.
Ravens by 2.5.
I am going to take the Steelers to win. I'm going to say the Ravens open up 0-2 at home. They won't make the playoffs. They're an organization that's just in a bad funk right now for a lot of reasons. And I'm going to say Pittsburgh gets it done. Best playmaker on the field is Antonio Brown.
And I think they're unveiling the Ray Lewis statue today, aren't they? Tonight?
Oh, really? So is he going to come out and do that dance one more time?
I don't know, but...
First 15,000 fans through the gates get a free knife.
Somebody said they should.
Where's Richard Seymour when you need him?
It would be something if they unveiled it and he was wearing a bloody white suit.
Oh, I heard that this morning.
How would you tell blood in like a bronze statue? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, you had to, someone put a white
suit on him.
Oh, I thought you meant the actual statue would be.
Right, that's what they're going to do. Okay, Eric.
All right, yeah, because mine is less dumb than you.
He can never let it go.
He's gotta, I got to be right.
I have a hard time seeing the Ravens go 0-2. I think they're a better team than what they showed last week. As well as Pittsburgh. I mean, even they didn't look great last week, giving up all those points afterwards to Cleveland. I'm going to go with the home team. Barely covering.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a barely cover as well. Field goal game. These
what
games,
was the number?
Two and a half. These games are really tough. Probably AFC one North. Of the... most physical rivalry, I think, in football. Sure. Not necessarily well played, and I don't think this game will be well played tonight.
Well, no,
tonight.
Especially not because it's short turnaround, Thursday night football.
But I will take the Ravens. Yeah. They had the lead with 4 minutes left last week, and they let that...
I'm going to go with the Ravens as well.
They
okay,
let it slip away.
Quick question. What do you think Ben Roethlisberger weighs these days? I saw him in his regular clothes. It might have been part of the fashion thing.
260?
Maybe more. I think he's pushing three bills. And
no way.
He looks like he has a beer belly that he's drinking his way into fatdom.
No
he's
way.
What,
350.
Five?
I mean, three bills.
Not
no way. No way.
I think he's a fat man.
All right. Anyway, we spend too much time in these early games, and we always have to give short shrift to the later ones.
So let's
try to even it out.
Except for we never run out of
Miami fun. At Buffalo. Miami at Buffalo.
And our good buddy Mike Rodak, as I told you guys, tweeted out moments ago, first time since 2000 these two will be playing each other when they both have winning records, which I found stunning.
Undefeated.
Miami is favored on the road by one.
I am going to take Miami to get the job done because hashtag September's our time, hashtag that's what Miami does. And I just don't really think the Bills are all that good.
And they won a good game last week.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
They did.
It's because Cutler was hungover.
Miami coming off the... what's the number, Paul?
Chris Berman over here making the pick.
What's the number?
Miami coming off the... ain't gonna...
Oh, but speaking of Chris Berman...
Oh, we have to take a little more time with these early games.
No, but the whole Ray Rice thing. So Berman's doing the game, that doubleheader game, and he's talking about, you know, domestic violence, very serious. You know, domestic violence is something we... Oh, they blocked the punt! He interrupted himself in the middle of that to go, oh, they blocked him. It was the funniest thing ever.
Jeez. I will take, Paul, the Dolphins to win on the road in a close game.
Yeah, I think you guys are probably right, but for some reason I'm going to take the home team here. Home opener for Buffalo.
Wow, it's not because two crap teams play, you take the home team?
Yeah, you know, probably deep
down. I'm just asking if you think
probably
they're both
deep
crap
down,
teams.
You're right. I don't think either one of these teams is very good, but I will take Buffalo at home.
I'm taking Miami.
This is how I fall behind.
Detroit at Carolina, 1 o'clock.
His cousin to rotate.
Detroit at Carolina.
That's funny because Carolina
these aren't
by
obvious picks. None of these are
Carolina by 2.5.
Easy picks.
Who are they playing?
Detroit.
Carolina by 2.5.
Just rotate.
Can somebody freaking explain to me what Cam Newton was doing yesterday?
Oh, that was weird, wasn't it? Like, I didn't get it. Yeah, I think that...
I didn't see it.
He pulled an Arian Foster where he answered every question with the same answer, but the answer was, I'm just focused on Detroit right now and getting protection from King
Donkey Kong
Sue.
Right. And my... Auburn teammate
Nick Fairley. And like people are saying, you know, a few other people from your class have gotten a contract extension. Is that something that I'm just focused on Detroit right now and worried about
Donkey Kong Sue and my Auburn classmate Nick Fair, like 6-8 times. I don't know how many times.
That's
I watched
what
the
he
video.
Anytime he had a question he'd want to answer, that's what he would
And he
say.
Didn't like smirk. There was no, he may have been sedated. He may have been drugged. I just.
Now Andy has him on drugs.
I didn't get it. Should I have gotten it?
Yeah, I just.
And what is going on with these a-hole athletes doing this?
I know.
And what is going on with these pushover reporters saying, what the F are you doing?
Like, not saying it, you mean.
Not saying, yeah. Just, you know, asking question after question. At question 6 or question 7, like, it became obvious he's being an a-hole, and yet you keep trying to be a professional and ask, if he's an a-hole, fight a-hole with a-hole.
Who's going to win the game?
Where's the game?
Carolina
by 2.5.
Where, I said?
Carolina!
Jeez. I'm going to take Carolina to start the season 2-0. Detroit, good football team. But Donkey Kong won't get it done, and Cam Newton's back. So Keekly, I think, did a nice job trying to help them carry it last week, and now they got the offense back with Cam.
I haven't seen it, but based on what you said, I don't care for it.
Oh, I hate it.
You like to say.
I hate it.
So I will say that Detroit will give us hope early on, as they usually do in the season, and they will win on the road relatively easily.
I don't know how easy it'll be, but I agree with Eric. I think Detroit will win this game.
Jim Caldwell going to get it done.
I think Carolina is very, very flawed. I know I picked against them last week and they burned me, but I don't think they're very good.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Detroit as well. Atlanta at Cincinnati. Tough game to pick.
Atlanta, which I didn't think was going to be very
Cincinnati
good.
Cincinnati by 5.
They won.
Cincy by 5.
And by the way, Devin Hester's on the Falcons?
Yes.
Yeah.
Missed that one the offseason.
Yep.
Where's the game?
Cincinnati.
Cincy.
I am going to take... I'm going to take Cincinnati. I don't know what to make of the Falcons. I didn't think they were going to be very good.
I agree.
And they won, but I still don't think they're going to be very good. So going on the road to Cincinnati, a decent team, talent, I'll take Cincinnati.
It's a tough game.
It is.
I love how we always think if we say something off air, we can't just forget about it. We have to turn the mic on and then say it.
5.5, though?
Five
was the number. I think that might even be too much. So I'll take Cincy to win, but give me those points, Paul.
Yeah, I am in last place, but I don't look at this game as tough. I think Cincinnati blows them out.
I'm going to do
But I am in last place.
I'm with Eric.
As you should be.
Cincy wins, but I don't think they cover. Sunday at 1, New Orleans, Andy, at Cleveland.
At what, Fred?
6.5.
New Orleans at Cleveland.
6.5.
I am going to take New Orleans. Why would I take Cleveland?
Brian Hoye.
I don't think he's very good. Nice man.
I'm kidding.
Nice men don't finish first. Nice men finish last. who said you're a nice man? Finish where you deserve to.
No, that's inaccurate. I will take New Orleans on the road, Paul.
Yeah, I will take New Orleans to win, but I don't like the way they play on the road, especially on grass, and I will take Cleveland to cover.
I'm with Paul. We're going to skip over New England at Minnesota. Arizona at the Giants, Sunday at 1. Arizona at the Giants.
Arizona, road favorite by 2.
You know, this one would be a toss-up for me, but I think really the addition of Tommy Kelly to that Arizona defense puts them over the top, so I'm going to take Arizona. And I won't pick the Giants until they show me they're anything more than just a crap-bum team with a crap-bum quarterback who's the most overrated two-time Super Bowl champion in the history of the league.
Yeah. Every time I watch him play, I say, we lost to this mother.
Yeah.
Twice.
Right.
Twice. Yeah.
He cost you 2 rings, Fred.
Hail Mary throws.
Unbelievable.
With his eyes closed.
Yep.
No. Yes. One with his eyes closed. One was a damn good throw.
Yeah, he got lucky on that one. I'll take, even though it's a tough spot.
30 for 40, he was lucky.
Tough spot for Cardinals, who don't generally do well when they have to travel east. But they are playing a Giants team that's not very good. So I'll buy into it for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Take the Cardinals.
I will take the Giants to pull the upset at home. I am got ridiculous concerns about how bad that offense looks. But for some reason... I'm just going to play a hunch and take the underdog.
I love Coughlin in his post game. You know, we did this, and then, you know, doing that thing again, throwing the interceptions.
Well, that's going to happen a lot if they continue to play that style of offense, because he doesn't have the skill set to do that, and he has no receivers to throw to that operate in the West Coast kind of system.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Arizona. Dallas at Tennessee, Sunday at 1. Dallas at Tennessee.
Tennessee by 3.5.
Do I roll them again? Nah, I'm not going to roll. I'm going to take Dallas to bounce back. Even though I don't trust Tony Romo, I rolled the dice with the Titans once last week. Not going to do it twice.
The most anonymous team, Paul, in the NFL.
Yeah.
I will take the Cowboys to bounce back to against a team that's not as potent nearly as San Francisco was.
And I think this is one of those you jump on. You get the Cowboys getting 3.5 points. I don't think they're very good, but I don't think Tennessee's very good either. So that
Jason McCourty one-on-one with Dez Bryant.
That comes out to 2 1-1 teams when it's all said and done. I'll take Dallas.
I'm going to go with Tennessee just for what the hell.
Poops and giggles?
Yeah.
Can we save these? Kevin, can you? Are you listening?
This is how we
can you
lose.
Start making a compilation of those how so that when he wins at the end of the year, and this is what Fred did to win, I'm going to take the Tennessee, what the hell?
But I don't know. It's part of a feeling. You understand.
Right. You wait to see what everybody else picks of and you take a shot.
You're in touch. You're
and right, every once in a while, you get lucky.
I get a feeling you're a lucky SOB.
Jacksonville at Washington.
Washington
by six.
Is this the worst game of the
Washington?
Week? It's one of them.
Is Bortles going to play?
Jacksonville by six?
Washington.
It's in Washington, Fred. I'll take the Redskins. I don't like the Redskins, but I can't pick the Jaguars.
Is Bortles going to play?
I don't think
so. Or is it Chad Henne again?
I believe it's Henne.
You know what? I predict disaster in Washington. Jacksonville's going to go on the road and win the game.
Wow.
I will take
QB
Washington.
Controversy.
Two Washington. Bad teams, Andy.
Pick the home team.
Yeah, I'm going to be rooting for Jacksonville, but I got to take Washington in this game.
Why are you rooting for Jacksonville?
Jordan Todman.
I just don't like Washington. I don't like Snyder. I think RG3 is overrated.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with all of that.
You know.
I just was wondering why you're rooting against them because of those things.
That's why.
Because I think RG3 is overrated, so I'm rooting against
them. And he doesn't like Daniel Snyder.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Washington in general, the city.
No, I love Washington, D.C. Seattle at San
Diego.
That
would all make sense.
Sunday at 4:05. Seattle at San Diego.
Seattle by six.
Teen.
Six.
Teen. I'll take Seattle to win and cover. I know it's the road, but it's a short road down the coast. And
16.
They're going to win by 16. That's not the spread.
No, but you're saying they're going to win by 16?
Yes, they're going to blow doors off little Danny Woodhead.
But remember, it's on the road. Seattle's a different team.
No, it's fine.
All right.
But, yeah, it's still West Coast. It's still a close trip for them. It's not going to be that bad.
Wouldn't it be like a three-hour flight?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like coming east, like on the road.
You don't have to go east. You go south.
Yeah, it's not as bad.
It's like us to Miami.
Still the same, same time zone. Yeah.
You bought it for a half a second.
I was like, it's not like it's going east. It's going south. So I guess it doesn't take as long. I don't know.
Well, when you're flying south, it doesn't take as much.
No, but you're going downhill.
Right, you are.
There's not a time zone difference.
Going with the curvature of the earth as opposed to across it.
Who you got?
Super Bowl champs are too good, so I'm just going to have to say, oh, Kevin, I even gave, stepped all over the bit.
He even put a bit in, and it's the wrong one.
He put his thumb up for a second.
No.
Yeah, I will take Seattle to win the game. 10 days off. I think they take advantage of that. But I will take San Diego to cover on the road.
Idiot.
I'm going to be with Paul. I think San Diego keeps it close. Seattle is different on the road, but they're good.
They're not. Yeah, they're not anywhere near the same team on the road.
St. Louis at Tampa Bay, 4:05. St. Louis at Tampa Bay.
Tampa by 5.5.
I don't like it.
Who's playing quarterback for the Rams?
Probably their third string guy.
Yeah, because the second string guy got hurt, and the third string guy was in. And
I think I think Hill got taken out for being ineffective. I mean, they said he had a leg injury, but a lot of the people there said
safe
that
face.
He was just sucking.
So who's playing quarterback?
I don't know.
Whoever the third string guy was.
Yeah, I wasn't really familiar with him. Who's he?
The third string quarterback.
I'll take Tampa.
Undrafted rookie.
I don't like Tampa.
Yeah,
I think St. Louis, at any point in this season, St. Louis could win a game just because their defense kicks ass. Just because
this would be a kind of week.
This could be that game, actually.
But I'm just going to go. I can't pick some third string quarterback I never heard of on the road. I'll go with Tampa and not feel good about it.
I have to agree with Andy for all those reasons.
And for those reasons, I'm out. No, I will take Tampa Bay.
Me too. Buccaneers.
Michael Sam.
4:25, Kansas City at Denver. Kansas City at Denver.
Denver by 13.
I'll take Denver to win and cover. I'm going to say Manning doesn't miss the throws that I saw him miss last week. And Kansas City, I think everybody had earmarked for the team that takes a step back. With the injuries they have, boy, are they on track to take a major step back.
Freddie, the decline of Manning didn't really
well. It's one game. I picked the Broncos.
You know what people think.
Just make your pick, Mr. Scalavino.
He picked the wrong Hall of Fame quarterback that was going to fall.
You worry about your picks.
Aaron Rodgers did look a little shaky.
Not as shaky as Tom Brady did.
I will take Denver to win, but a lot of points, so I'll take the Chiefs on the other side.
A lot of points.
Yeah, I was tempted to take the points, but the injuries, I think they're going to be really struggling on defense, losing two starters in week one in DeVito and Derek Johnson. So I think Andy's right. I think some of those passes that Manning missed in the second half, he won't miss this week.
I didn't think Derek Johnson looked that impressive in training camp.
Okay. All right.
The chink in Denver's armor
Peterson
starts to show this week.
You can't say that.
The chink?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I did. Anyway, the chink in Denver's armor shows this week. They win, but they don't cover.
Okay. So and you're with me.
Now, is that your brain talking or your hopeful heart talking?
My hopeful heart.
Everybody's
got
a hopeful heart.
How would I know? New Jersey at Green Bay, Sunday at 4:25.
The rest of the NFL is refusing to say Redskins. They say Washington. He uses New Jersey.
Right.
And only for the Jets.
Yeah.
Well, Green Bay,
if I was a flying aircraft, I would be insulted.
I missed it. What was it?
8.5.
Where is it?
Green Bay!
I will take Green Bay because they're the better football team.
Yes,
to win and cover.
To win and cover is right for that reason. They are the better football team.
Yeah, not enough offense for the Jets. They fall behind and they're not equipped to do that, especially on the road in Lambeau. So yep. I think Packers roll.
Green Bay roll, yep. Houston at Oakland. Houston at Oakland, 4:25.
Houston by 3 on the road.
Oh. I'm just going to keep Billy
Houston
O'Brien.
By 3 on
the I like him. I'll pick him. Hmm. Plus, I mean, the Raiders. Raiders stink.
Yeah, and who's quarterbacking?
Carr.
Derek Carr. Derek Carr?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Had a great completion percentage last week, but didn't get any yards out of it.
Well, I'll have to
it's
go
your
with,
kind of quarterback.
I'm going to go with Billy O on the road again, too. Start off 2-0 to his NFL career.
There you go.
Paulie.
I have Houston.
I was distracting Paul. He wasn't ready.
Me too, Houston.
And I have no idea what he was saying, even though I heard neither of what you said.
Sunday night, 8:30, Chicago at San Francisco.
San Fran by 7.
I got to tell you, coming out off
a
bad...
Well, that makes that loss look a lot worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, coming off a bad upset to have to fly to San Francisco.
Yeah.
They got good bars in San Francisco. So I am going to take the 49ers to make
What are you implying there, Andrew?
Well, I don't think it's an implication when I say I think Jay Cutler's a drunk.
No. Oh, okay.
I'm going to say the 49ers are taking it too. And everybody liked the Bears. It seemed like they were kind of this, like, under-the-radar, next-tier... Right. Pick and
so they lost one game, and so now we should all obey.
No, I never loved him because, as I said last week, when I made picks,
Mark Trestman looks funny with.
I don't like
on
Trestman,
thinks,
and I don't like
the quarterback
Cutler.
Is drunk. So.
They got a CFL coach, and they got a quarterback with some issues.
He wasn't in the NFL for a long time.
Yeah,
before
but he's
he went
CFL coach.
You know, Chip Kelly, you know, coached at UNH at one time. So
did he go from UNH to
low level
the Eagles?
Football.
Did he?
I don't think
Trestman, that's the only place that Trestman's been.
Where did he go from to?
It doesn't matter.
Where did he
he's
go
been
from
in the NFL
to?
Before.
Where did he go from to?
That's what I said.
I know. He's just unbelievable.
I will take
idiots.
I'll take San Fran at home win and cover, Paul.
I will as well, but I am worried.
Oh, I thought you liked Trestman.
I do like Trestman.
So why don't you take him?
Coach, because I don't think the Bears.
Because if he's a good coach after an opening day upset, you need to rally the troops, or you're going down
to move on too. So that means you be quiet.
We only have 10 minutes for the last two games.
We have 3 minutes.
I'm taking the Niners as well.
But upset
I think,
of the week,
I
Chicago
think there's some
wins
problems.
This game outright.
Because Trestman, you know, he goes from the CFL to San Francisco. He knows what he's doing.
It was nice of Fred to give us a game back there.
Monday night, Philadelphia at Indianapolis.
Indy by 3.
That's a good Monday night game.
It is.
Philly's got to play that. Well, they played better in the second half.
I think Indianapolis at home, you know, they had a valiant comeback effort. That's a problem for them, by the way. Sooner or later, they need to start leading games and not making Andrew Luck put together comebacks and all those things. I say they win this game at home.
Yeah, this tough, entertaining game I think it's going to be. And a shootout. A lot of points. Take the over.
Take the over, Eric says.
Yes, I will take
the over Indy, is 97, you know.
Should I write over?
I'll take Indy to win and a small cover. Maybe 4 or 5 points.
Yeah, I like Indy as well in this game, but Andy's right. They got to stop this trend of falling way behind in their games.
Indy wins. All right, so now we go to America's game. New England at Minnesota, Sunday at 1.
See, Brandon Marshall said that Patriots should be America's team.
He's right.
Bears wide receiver, you know.
That's right.
Okay, I just want to make sure you knew who Brandon Marshall was.
No, he's not on the Patriots, I know.
I'm just making sure.
And the
Patriots
ball?
By 3.
Patriots by 3. Patriots by 17. I think the Patriots bounce back in this one. I don't think Matt Castle is going to eat them up, and I don't think they're going to allow Adrian Peterson to eat them up. The only thing that scares me is Patterson, because he's just that dynamic.
He's
couple
that Josh
plays
Gordon
can plays
guy.
change the game. One kick return, one long reception, and it flips it.
Yep.
I'm going to say that doesn't happen. I'm going to say Patriots 30.
30.
30 to 13.
Oh, it's a 30.
That was my score last week, so I'm going again. 30 to 13.
Okay. 17 might be a lot of points, but I do think they'll win and cover, Paul. Maybe 7 to 10 points. I'll say 27-17 Patriots.
Yeah, I am taking the Patriots as well. Just can't imagine them laying two eggs in a row. I think they're the far better team, and it would take an egg to be laid here to lose to the Vikings. So
it would take an egg to be laid.
I think that they bounce back. I think the offensive line problems from last week, I'm not going to say they completely disappear, but they are much, much better. And 27-16 Patriots.
This is one of those early season 40 burgers for the Patriots. 41-19 over the Minnesota Vikings. And if all of a sudden everything's all right, but we'll see.
So none of us fearful of an 0-2 start to the season, apparently.
My cameraman was fearful of one this morning. Michael Bennett.
His cameraman.
Oh, yeah?
Michael Bennett.
He has his own cameraman.
He has his own cameraman.
I do.
The man has a name.
I just gave it to
my
you.
My cameraman.
I just gave it to you.
My Michael driver Bennett. Said this morning.
John Rooks here for the Patriots
driver,
playbook.
Hey,
John.
Boy, we have short memories here, don't we? Wow. Yeah. How soon we forget last week.
We know you don't.
We need to provide a little balance, John.
I'm not saying you need to provide balance from me.
All dressed
from
in black.
Me? Hey, I picked the Patriots last week too. I'm just saying. I'm a little bit more of a show me kind of guy. You know, that's all.
So you like the Vikes?
I didn't say I like the Vikings either.
None of us did either. So what's the difference?
No,
he heard mine.
Fred's here. Like we're going to drop a 40 burger on him. I'm like, wow.
Besides the fact that it's a 50 burger, if you're going to use the burger, it's a 50 burger.
All right,
they were
it's
on
a slider,
pace.
A 40 slide.
They were on pace last week, right? They were on well on their way to
40?
A 40 point game until they stayed at 20.
All right. John, have a good show.
Okay.
I know you got Russell Baxter, Buster Crab, and you've got Dan Fouts.
Yes, Dan Fouts is going to be on the program. And also on the program, Brian Murphy from the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Wow. Got a full slate. And then, of course, the fantasy show at 4. We'll see you next Tuesday and social on Sunday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.